Proverbs 18:2, a fool takes pleasure in no understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. Let me read that again. In Proverbs 18:2, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. See, that's what social media gives the platform for. Fools, where they can express their own opinions. They don't say anything about thus says the Lord. See, that's what the nominations gives you, where they can express their own opinion. That's what Google gives you. They can express their own opinions, but they have no pleasure in the understanding of the ways of the Lord. That's a fool. That's a fool. In Proverbs 29:11, it says, a fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. A fool just spurts off whatever he wants to say. She just says whatever comes to her mind, says whatever comes to her heart. That's a fool. But a wise woman, a wise man, they know how to quietly hold back. You may think that they are weak, or you may think that they don't have nothing to say, but really, they just holding back. They just really don't want to say something that'll make them look like a what? A fool. Proverbs 1:7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instructions. Fools despise the word of God. Fools despise the instructions of God. It's a fool who's despised the wisdom in an everlasting divine knowledge of God. He said, that's a fool. Proverbs 18:6 says, a fool lips walk him into a fight. A fool lips walks him into a fight. And his mouth invites a beating. It invites a beating. Some of y'all done got knocked out before because you was being a fool. Yeah, you may be tough right now, but I'm telling you right now, my brother, you gonna become a fool, a beat up fool, if you keep using that mouth of yours. Proverbs 28:26, whoever trusts in his own mind, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool. He's a fool. But he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. What wisdom is you talking about? The wisdom of God, the wisdom of this word, the wisdom of Genesis all the way to Revelation, the wisdom of the books of the Bible. If you walk in that revelation, it says you will be delivered. Delivered from what? The bondages of sin, the bondages of your lusts, the bondages of your desires, the bondages of this wicked and perverse generation. God said, if you walk in that wisdom, my brothers and sisters, you will be delivered. But whoever trusts in his own mind, even though that mind got him a college degree, even though that mind made him a doctor, even though that mind made her a lawyer, even though that mind made you $1 million or $50 million. But if you trust in that mind long enough, it will show what? A statue of a fool at the end. Anybody who doesn't believe in the everlasting God, it says, and I remember Job told us, a fool says there is no God. That's a fool. God used that word so many times if you study out the scriptures, you guys. He don't want us to be a fool. And you don't have to be. That's why I welcome you to the underground, a place to hear the word of God before you go 6 feet underground, a place to get into the word of God so the word of God can get into you. And who am I? I ain't nobody special. I'm just a voice of one calling out in the wilderness of the world saying, repent. Don't be a fool. Welcome to the underground. Man, what is up? I hope everybody having a good week. We didn't do it yesterday, you know, but I had a couple of, people hit me up and say, what's up? We gonna do the underground. And I say, well, you know what God told Peter? Hey, feed my sheep. Feed them. You know, so I say, well, God, let me go ahead and get back on this underground. You know, every once in a while, I'll be trying to, give y'all a break from this because I know I'll be in here hitting a lot of y'all in y'all chest. I'll be hitting a lot of y'all in y'all chin. I'll be checking y'all with this word. So I'll be trying to give y'all a break. I'll be trying to let the swelling go down. I be trying to let the black eyes go away before I get back on here. But y'all keep coming back. Cut me, make your Adrian. Y'all be coming back like Rocky. Your Adrian. So let's go. Round 13. Let's go. I ain't worried about it. Shout out to everybody in here, man. Hey, man. Everybody in here, man. Y'all doing big things. I know it. I'm so proud of everybody up in here, man. I've seen y'all grow so much in the ministry of God, and all of y'all is just beautiful. And I'm here to root y'all on. I'm here to keep on like supporting y'all, whatever y'all need. You know what I mean? The best of me and my wife's ability. Shout out to my wife, though. Yeah, real quick, shout out to the one who just be doing it all behind the scenes, putting everything together, making everything look legit. Too legit to quit. Yeah, she make everything look legit on paper. Cause if it was just up to me, it wouldn't be nothing. It'd just be a voice, and no, and it wouldn't grow. It wouldn't go forward. But my wife has that mind. You know that book smarts. You know what I mean? To know how to take it to make things look professional. She know where to put the commas at. Can we say that? She know where to put the periods at. If it was up to me, it just would be a run-on sentence. And they'll be like, who is this? He don't even, girl, he don't even know how to write sentence. We can't have him up in here. Not talking to her. So she know where to, so shout out to that, though. But shout out to everybody else up in here, man, who just got beautiful ministries, man. Beautiful callings on your life, beautiful souls. I know everybody in here personally. And I'm telling you, man, you guys are genuine people. Genuine people, and that's the test. How to remain genuine in this perverse and crooked generation? How to remain genuine when your heart go get broke? Heartbreak, you got the bet. Yeah. How do you remain genuine through that? How do you remain genuine when you get played? And you know what I'm saying? You gotta play because everybody plays the fool. Sometimes, how do you remain genuine after you done played the fool? Now, some of us play the fool like 20 or 30 times. I don't know about you. I just gotta let me bring you to the altar. Just pour oil all over them. You playing the fool 30 to 40 times. Okay. It said everybody plays the fool sometimes. Not their whole life now, baby. Come on. Okay. But how do you remain genuine? How do you remain with a soft heart? Because it's not that we trying to keep our hearts soft for people. Let me say that first and foremost. It's not that I'm trying to remain nice for, I'm trying to keep my heart tender so I can hear what thus says the Lord says. I want to hear what he says. I want to move when he tells me to move. I don't want my heart to get so hard. But I'm in this crooked and perverse generation where I'm meeting all type of wickedness and evil people. People who don't really value what I value. People who really don't want to help like I want to help. People who don't show love like I want to show love. God, how do I remain genuine through all that? Huh? I do that. That's the, sometimes, and that be the hard part, right? But I always remind myself about this. Before I ever get to on my high horse, I get too self-righteous about things, or get like I'm on my path to righteousness and nobody else is near me. I always remind myself of this when Jesus said in Matthew 9, verse 12, but when he heard it, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. And then he told us in Mark chapter 2 and verse 17, and when Jesus heard him, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. See, God is called. If you want to know who God want to talk to, he want to talk to some sinners. Those who know that they heart It's some God, it's just something about my, I don't know what it is, God. I can pray for 23 hours a day, God, but when I step out of that prayer closet, why I'm back crazy again? What's wrong with me, God? What's wrong with my mind? What's wrong with my thoughts? Why I think like that about them? Why I don't like that group of people? What makes me, I don't know, why I itch around those type of people? You know, why I just can't love those? Why I can't love her? Why I can't love him? What is it about it, God? He say, that's who I want to talk to. That's who I want to talk. Never forget, y'all. Never forget. Never get too high and mighty. Never forget too grown. Never forget too rich. Never forget too beautiful. Never, ever, ever forget that you're a sinner. I was talking to God this morning in my prayer closet, which is the car. You know, I spend a lot of time in my car, so I done made it my prayer closet, and I didn't, you know, I love it when I get in there. I'm at the point now when I get in there, I be like, God, you buckled up. I ask him, is he buckled up? Because I know he riding with me. But and then sometimes you know the presence of God is on you in your life a little bit when you speed and you don't slow down because of the cops. You slow down because just that presence of God. You let people over. You know, you see them trying to get over, but you don't want to let them over, and you just let them over because that's that spirit in you. That's that Holy Spirit in the car with you. Talking about let them over. Stop. Go ahead and let them over. That Holy Spirit with you. But we was talking, and I say, man, God. And you know, we got the president stuff going on these days and all those type of things. By the way, and I was telling my wife this, should no preacher of the gospel be trying to tell a church who they need to be voting for. No preacher, a real preacher of the gospel. You let the people decide what they want to decide. But our job, when we get in the pulpit or when we have the opportunity to speak to God's people, all we telling them is, thus says the Lord. And then when I study from Genesis to Revelation, I don't see anything about promoting any politician. I just want to say that. I just want to encourage. I'm not here to rebuke. I'm just here to encourage my fellow pastors and bishops and teachers. Hey, man, that pulpit is just for thus says the Lord, my brother, my sister. Y'all want to do all that? Y'all can get them outside when they get outside the church. Yeah, y'all can wait outside. Yeah. As a matter of fact, wait outside on the other side of the parking lot. Don't even be on his steps like that. Yeah, wait by the car. Yeah, I like that. Wait by the car. And y'all can pass out your little flyers then. But the pulpit, hey, thus says the Lord. That's it. That's it. We're not using our holy, righteous, set-apart pulpits to try to sneak any agendas in, to try to sneak attack any denomination or whatever. We don't use it to sneak attack the Democrats and sneak attack. I be seeing that little slick stuff. We don't do that. Not God's voice, not God's voice peace. Nah, we don't do that type of stuff, man. All we trying to tell the people is from Genesis to Revelation. And if we read it, we understand what he telling the people is repent. Same message. He just tell people, y'all need to turn and stop playing with me. Yo, that's it. We turning people to God. That's it. So, anyways, back to what I was saying. I'm in the car and I told God, I say, God, you know what? I'm so thankful. Oh God, I'm so thankful that there you didn't have to vote to save me. There's no, I don't have to go to, I don't have to go around the world and try to convince you to save me. You can't, when God saved me, can't nobody impeach me. I'm so glad. I say, God, I'm so thankful that you don't have to go to a college electoral vote in order to get me in the kingdom of heaven. God is the ultimate voter.
He don't have to get with the New York and then go to Kansas and then go here and then have a rally in Houston and say, well, should I save him? Nah. God just say, I'm going to save him. It's that. I don't need nobody's approval. I don't need y'all's stamp. I don't need the popular vote. I don't need the black vote. I don't need the white vote. I don't need the Mexican vote. I'm going to save that crazy boy down there in Houston, Texas. It's done. Boom. Period. I love that. I love, and then what I love too, y'all, guess what I love too? 4 years from now, I don't have to go through that process again. I'm already in though. Oh, I love God. I love that he don't gotta, you know, check with nobody, call nobody. He don't gotta check no resumes. He don't gotta call my former job. Cause some of us in here, what if he had to call your former job? And say, hey, this is God. I was just trying to see, how does she at work? Just trying to see if she can be in the kingdom of heaven. Some of us wouldn't make it. What if he had to check on some reference? Yeah, in order for you to get into the kingdom of heaven, he had to do some background checks. Ooh, some of y'all up out of there already. I'm talking about some real background checks. But he passed through your background check. He passed through your reference. He passed through your GPAs. And he said, I'm going to save you. That's what I love about God. That's why I get up and I just thank him, because he called a sinner like me to some marvelous king. He called a fool. I wasn't nothing but a fool. Yeah, that's why I play a statue of a fool. That song was talking about me before I met God. I was building a statue of a fool of myself, but God in his infamous mercy, God in his everlasting mercy, God in his loving mercy, God in his forgiveness, just stepped down. He took a break from his throne and came down to this wicked world and just said, "Ooh, let me save him real quick. Let me save her real quick." Thank you, God. If I haven't thanked you enough, if I haven't thanked you enough today, can I say it one more time? I'm like Luther Vandross when it comes to thanking God. Never too much, never too much, never too much. Do. Never too much when it's time to thanking God. Whew, anyways, well, that was just a little introduction. I'm just trying to get, you know, a little riled up. So, hey, check this out, though. I've been on this thing, you know, I don't know why God just keep talking to me about this cancel culture. You know, and I really want to make sure people understand what the Spirit of the Lord is trying to say. Because I'm always, you know, sometimes my wife will tell you when I get off, I'm always like, man, God, I hope I explained that right. Or I hope they understood, God. I don't want to confuse anybody when it comes to preaching your word. You know what I mean? So when I talk about the cancel culture, one of the stories that comes to my mind, I'm going to just talk to y'all for a little bit. One of the stories that comes to my mind, I think about my boy, Paul. I think about Uncle Paul, you know, Paul, who he was on his high horse and he was on his way to Damascus. And see, every once in a while, God, Jesus himself, got to come in your life because you're on your high horse and got to knock you down. He got to knock you down. Now, prior to that, we have to understand who Paul was. Now, some of us may know Paul from, he's the person who's written most of the New Testament, and that's who he is. But prior to the New Testament Paul, the sanctified Paul, the holy Paul, you know, the brother Paul, you know, minister Paul, hey, brother, you know, before he was all that, he had a little background to him. And I'm here to tell you, in the society that we live in today, that background that Paul had, crucifying Christians, running up into their house, dragging Christians out, throwing them in jail. Man, that's a cancel culture story right there. Yeah, that would get you all on Twitter and Facebook and people saying all type of things about you in the comment section. That's what you are. You would have got canceled. See, if Paul was alive today and they brought up his past, you see, because we see a lot of people who getting canceled today because of their past. And that's what we're gonna do today. We're gonna take a stroll through a couple of stories and talk about people's past. That if they was in our culture today, I know we glorify them in the church, but in real life, their stories, their past would have got them canceled today. But God. But God. I'm here to tell you that a lot of us have passed up in here. I'm glad you got your degree, but a lot of us got some passes up. I'm glad that you married now, but a lot of us got some passes up in here. I'm glad that you got a good job now, but a lot of us got some passes up in here that if God was to just allow it to get posted on social media, you would get canceled. Can I be real honest with you? Hey, husband, a lot of you got some passes. If your wife really knew, she will look at you and be like, should I counsel him? Wifey, before you get on your high horse real quick, let me go ahead and knock you down with this light. Let me tell you a little bit about the light, by the way. Everybody thinks the light is to make it shine, but every once in a while, that light will come and blind you. Let me say that one more time. The light is not always there just to shine in darkness. The light will come and blind you every once in a while. You ever been walking with God and got to feel your way through? You ever had to feel your way through a season in life? You ever had to feel your way on how to raise these kids? Feel your way on how to do this marriage? Feel your way how to do this ministry? See, the light every once in a while will blind you, but only to blind you so you can take hold of the hand of God. God sometimes will blind you so you can hold his hand. A statue of a fool is what some of us are. That's what some of us are. That's who we was. Now, let's take a stroll real quick. Let's talk about all these people with these horrible, just, I'm telling you. So when I read the Bible, my brothers and sisters, number one, I'm reading the Bible to get an understanding of who God is. Some of you guys may know all this already, but I may be talking to some young people out there who don't understand how to go about reading the Bible. The first thing you want to do, I'm telling you, young people, is not to read the word to get an answer. Don't come to the Bible. I need an answer from God. Truth be told, God don't have to say anything to us. Let me say that again. God don't have to say anything to us. Y'all understand he went almost 400 years without talking to the children of Israel. Almost 400 years, y'all shut it up. Couldn't hear nothing. And then he came through and say, hey, I heard my kids down there crying. Well, why he don't say nothing when I, hey, that's God. He don't got to explain nothing to me. I told you I'm a fool. He don't got to explain nothing to me. So, my brothers and sisters, especially my young people, when you come to the Word of God, look to find out who God is. What is the character of God? What is the heart of God? What makes God smile? What make God mad? You know, what is his purpose? What is his goal? What is his mission? What is his kingdom? That's how we come to the Word of God. I'm trying to find out about who God is. Okay? That's the first thing we want to do. Then what you want to see when you're reading stories, you want to put yourself sometimes in the shoes of those people. Do you see yourself in these stories? And then also when you're reading the word, look at just, if you really study, look at the people that we call, I mean, we say they had so much faith. We want to have a walk like them. We want to have testimonies like these characters in the Bible. But if you really study out these individuals from a human point of view and from the culture that we live in today, Man, these people had some issues, man. These people had some issues. From Genesis to Revelation, the people God was using, oh my God. Man, they would get canceled. I'm telling you, or they would be weird. They would be like, he don't know. That ain't no man of God. That ain't no woman of God. She lying. He lying. Seriously. Okay, Adam. Let's talk about Adam. The first, you know, he folded under peer pressure quickly. Folded. You know what I mean? And then his problem, Adam, always blaming the woman. We see that today on these YouTube channels. We see that today on a lot of social media. A lot of men blaming women. They still got that Adam spirit. But guess what? Hey, God decided to make him the first man. You got your girl Eve. She always wanted to eat something, basically. And you know, that's still, you know, they always like to eat. And that's still going on to the day. I always want to eat something. I'm hungry. And look, in the garden, I guess she was hungry because she just had to bite the apple. You feel me? And then Eve, hey, look, check. And you know, that's still going on to the day. But check this out. Always talking to snakes that promise them everything but don't deliver on nothing. Some of y'all still going through that right now. Talking to some snakes that promise you everything but haven't delivered yet. Eve still trying to get the knowledge of good and evil. She's still trying to get smart like God. She's still waiting on that mind like God. That snake lied to you, but you fell for it. And I'm here to tell y'all, some of you beautiful kingdom ladies are still falling for what the snake telling you. Your boy Noah, let's keep moving and grooving. Noah, he telling people this. Look at the people who God was using. Now Noah come through a righteous man, according to God. Why? Because he had faith. Not because he was just so righteous. Not because he never sinned and all those type of things. He was righteous because when God said do something, he was gonna do it. But we gotta understand. It wasn't no boats going on in that time. It wasn't no big boats being built like that. So all of a sudden, you got Noah. He coming through, and he telling everybody, I'm finna build the Titanic. I need everybody to get on it because God about to flood. They looking at Noah like, boy, shut up. See, we read about it in our time. But I'm saying, again, when you read the word, put yourself in his shoes. Who was building boats back then like that? We talking about arcs. He want to build something that people never seen before. And he telling them God told him to do it. Because God about to flood the whole world. No, boy, shut up. He crazy, y'all. Y'all don't pray for that boy. He talking about he hear from God. Who you talking about? Who you talking about, Cain? Noah. Talking about God. He over here talking about God. So I went over there to holler at him, right? Yeah, Noah. He talking about, man, I'm building this boat if you want to help me out because God said he about to flood everything. Man, I said, okay, Noah. You know, but that's my boy, but pray for him. And not only that, y'all, Noah wanted to have a whole zoo on the boat. He wanted the whole Houston Zoo to be on the boat with him. He telling everybody, yeah, we got to get 2x2. He telling his family that. Think about what I'm saying now. Because I want y'all to understand the position, the situations that you're going to be in when you start listening to God. When you start listening to that crazy faith God is stepping you out to. I want you to really put yourself in the shoes of counsel culture people. He telling people God about to flood the world. And then, so he built the boat. God did what he said he was going to do. But in Genesis chapter, 9, he turned into a drunk. Noah started getting tipsy a lot. Hear this man who then did a mighty thing, I mean a powerful thing for God. He done seen, the heavens literally open up, right? He done seen God perform, and all of a sudden he done turned into a drunk who walk around naked. I'm not trying to be Genesis chapter 9, read it. That's who Noah turned into. Can you imagine, oh my God, that being on social media today? The great Bishop Noah, drunk and naked. He getting canceled quickly. And his church is getting closed down quickly. But that's your boy Noah. Tell somebody and say, that's your boy Noah. That's your boy Noah. Your boy Jacob, a leader of the children of Israel, one of the four founders, the God of Isaac, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob. But when we study his life out, he was a liar. He was a full-blown liar, deceiving. He was what people would say, girl, he do is run game. There was your boy Jacob. Do you hear me? That was your boy Jacob running game, scheming, plotting, trying to get over on people. That was your boy Jacob. Let's go ahead and check out your boy Moses for a little bit. Moses, if he was in this, let's talk about the culture that we're in, he would have a record. What would be on his record? He was a murderer. So it'll be hard for him to get a job. It'll be hard for him to get any type of, influence like that, kind of, if he's trying to walk with. He was a murderer. And then not only that, he was a fugitive for a long time. When he murdered, he took off. Let's not forget that your boy Moses was a fugitive. He was on America's Most Wanted. He would have been on America's Most Wanted. Have you seen this person? The last time we seen him was in Egypt when he was hitting somebody upside the head. If you have any questions, please call David Walsh at Unsolved Mysteries. That's your boy Moses. That's your boy Moses. And then on top of that, he had a stuttering problem. That's why he wanted your boy Aaron to kind of speak to him. So he was, I love Moses, but come on now. That's not what he called to do. That's what we would have said about Moses. I know we can praise him now when we read about him, but if we had a preacher who was up there stuttering like that, we would have been like, okay, is he really called to do that? We wouldn't have the patience for a stuttering speaker. We want our speakers to be eloquent. We want our speakers to be fluent. We want our speakers to make us laugh. We want our speakers to make us interesting, entertain us. Moses wasn't like that. He wasn't no entertaining speaker. He wasn't. That's why he wanted Aaron to do it. But guess who used him? With a record and all. Got murder in his background. God said, I want to still use you. And then your boy has some anger issues. Yeah, your boy Moses has some real anger issues. He can be on the mountain with God. He the type who will be, can pray down some fire, can be glowing in the face with God. Have some deep face-to-face. But in one instant, he was a hothead. That's your boy Moses. And one situation can be facing 20 to life because of his anger. That's who God chose to use. We throw people away like that and we give them 50 to 60 and 80 and 100 years in prison for one decision. They lost their cool. But I'm just here to let you know how God will use people like that. How God would make people like that, put them on a road to redemption and begin to use them. This is what set God apart from everything else in this world. This is why he deserves the praise from every sinner that's walking this earth, because the people that he used, the people that he gives second chances to. But that was your boy Moses. Let's keep moving. Your boy Joshua. Listen here. Joshua is, in our culture today, when you read Joshua, he will be basically what's going on in these certain wars that we see on TV. Like when you see these big countries going into these lands and just tearing up everything and killing everybody and killing their kids and bombing everything. If you read Joshua, my brothers and sisters, that was Joshua. He was a straight gangster. He went into every country, and I mean slaughtered everything. Joshua 12, chapter 12, verse 9 through 24, it gives you a list of 31 kings that he slaughtered. Who are you talking about? Joshua. I'm not making this up. Joshua 12, go through Joshua 12, verse 9 through 20. It'll give you a list of all the kings and lands that he went into and straight slaughtered. Out of there, Benito. Now, can you imagine Joshua on CNN right now? Can you imagine the pictures they'll show of the people? Of all the land that Joshua has caused havoc to? And guess what we'll do to Joshua? He deserves to. Oh my God. I can't believe he's doing that. That's what we would have said about Joshua. See, we get inspiration from him now. We get, you know, power from Joshua now. But how many people hated Joshua in his day? You know, because he was going up and telling, hey, God told me to do this. Yeah, God told me to slaughter everything that's in this camp right now. Lay it down. Everybody lay it down. How would you look at Joshua today? Serious, think about it. The way we train, the way our minds operate, the way how they can show us a picture of anything and instantly change our thoughts and instantly have us judging people, we wouldn't like Joshua, man. Come on. Miss me with that. We wouldn't like Joshua. Your boy David, too. We wouldn't like David like that. David had so much blood on his hands, God told him, now, I'm going to have your son build the temple. You got too much blood on your hands, son. But this somebody who was after God's own heart, according to God. He had a habit of telling his soldiers, hey, strap up. Can you imagine us seeing a video of David and his soldiers strapping up on YouTube, Twitter? They just a viral video going around of him going up in these countries, killing people. We wouldn't like David like that, man. Come on. Please believe me. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's. I don't know if we really understand who God was using, man, or what the type of people. That's why I come for the sinners. Everybody I'm using, they sinners. Your boy, and then we already know about how he, you know, David he had a weird way of always taking people's wives, too, by the way. Kind of weird with that. I don't know. You know, very forceful in certain areas when he came. When you read about him a little bit, you know, he had a little weirdo type thing when it came to women. He was very forceful. Didn't have no finesse to him. Just come here.
bring her here. Like, what, David? What's wrong with you? Ah, dog. Anthony Mason. He was very, if you read it, you know, just being real about it. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to get y'all to see who he was. See what he did to his homeboy. Very scheming, you know? That's who David was. That's who David was. Can you imagine you hearing that right now about your pastor? He out of there. We canceling him. He out of there. And nobody's going back to his church. He's the devil. That's who he was. He was a. That's what we saying. But that's who I'm. That's who I don't understand. That's who God was using. Your boy Solomon. Listen. Your boy had a sex addiction. He would have been. Y'all see all this surviving. These surviving stories. He would have had his. He would have had surviving Solomon. And it would have been a whole bunch of women coming out talking about him right now. Talking about how he used to take them to the temple courts. Take them to the room where the showbread at. All of that. They would have had some stories about your boy Solomon. 1,000 women? Oh, somebody would have came out with a story about your boy Solomon. Yeah, we would have seen him on a Netflix special. The wisest man in the world. We would have had him on a Netflix special because with 1,000 women, somebody coming out talking and somebody about to sue your boy Solomon. But God made him king? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. God made him king? So I'm just trying to get us to see, and I can go on and on and on like a energizer bunny when it comes to these people God was using, man. Now, Abraham, because I'm going to read a story about Abraham, and I want to talk about Rahab, but I got stories. I'm going to go through the stories with them. But let's lay the foundation for your boy Abraham. Now, according to scripture, and just 75 years old when he uprooted his family. This is the time you're supposed to retire, Abraham. Y'all heard about Grandpa Abraham? Oh, my God, child. He over there got Sarah and Lot finna get ready to move. Talk to him. I'm serious. Talk to Abraham. Please pray for him. We would have been talking about pray for Abraham, not, oh my God, he got so much faith. We wouldn't have been saying that about Grandpa Abraham. We would have been talking about he got senile. We would have been treating him like we treat bottom. Y'all would have been looking at him like, now he tripping now. He trying to take Sarah. Well, he need to sit down somewhere. We would have told him that. But now, you know, when we in church and the pastor can be like, you got to have faith like Abraham. You got to move like Abraham. You got to say yes like Abraham. And we screaming and all that. But come on now. In real life, we wouldn't have been vibing with Abraham's decision like that. I'm sorry. No, we wouldn't have. No, we wouldn't. And then at that, he's 75, and then two times, if you studied our scripture, he lied about his wife. He telling people that's his sisters. Sisters, now y'all know. Y'all not having that. They better, you know how y'all get if they don't even post. He up there lying, talking about I'm your sister? He got the nerves, girl, to take her out of her home, her country, and now he over there lying? That ain't no man of God. He ain't been called by God. She need to leave him alone. Come on. I just need y'all to be real with me. That's what I'm saying. When you read the word, really think about what's going on. Really think about, man, God, man, you use really some crazy people. He had a habit of lying about his wife. I don't know why he was telling people that was his sister. He said he was scared, but still, she don't want to hear all that. I don't care if you're scared. I ain't your sister. I'm your wife. I am your wife. I am your wife, Abraham. You don't tell nobody I'm your sister. She ain't trying to hear all that. She ain't trying to hear no, well, baby, I was scared because, you know, she don't care about none of that. She your wife, and she need Instagram, Facebook, every social media account to know that. Where's your ring at, Abraham? Now he up there lying. Now listen to what I'm saying, y'all. So since the move, he didn't lie two times about his wife, who he said God told him to move. She already looking at him skeptical. So God told you, huh? Okay, that's okay. Yeah, God told him to move, but he lying. Okay. Okay. I cannot. Oh, I wish I had a phone to call my mama. I tell her, bring them donkeys to come get me. I swear if I had a phone to call my mama, I would tell her, mama, you get them camels and you come get me because this fool is lying. I'm telling you. Y'all know what I'm talking about. He up here lying. But guess what? But hear me out. Most of us in here want the faith like Abraham had, though. Just really, really talk. Hear me what I'm saying, y'all. We really want that faith he had. But let's keep going. At the age of 86, he had his first baby. But guess what? Somebody say what? I need somebody to type what, and I tell y'all. I ain't going for say what. Somebody say what. I'm going to see. Okay. My wife just screamed what. Okay. Guess what? At the age of 86, he had a baby with another woman. Yeah, you lying. You know Sarah been wanting a baby. And he had, he ain't no man or God. That ain't, let me tell you why he really went to that other country. He been talking to her. He been had a relationship with that girl. What's her name? Hagar? Child, please. He been had a relationship with her. That's why he moved, but he tried to blame God. He tried to say God told him to do it. That's why. But let's be real, though. Your girl Sarah, we talking about the first, listen, we talking about our ancestors, y'all, who God say from y'all, all the descendants go come from. This is who I'm trying to get y'all to see who God was using. It was your girl Sarah, because at the end of the day, Sarah didn't really have that faith yet like that. She wasn't, this was her man's God. Let's be real. This was her man's faith. And she loved her some Abraham. Anybody who has 75, and so if he was 75, because they was 10 years, she was about 65, right? Yeah, she's about 65. Anybody 65 ready to move with your man, she loves her some Abraham. That's just, okay. And you know, women, when they love hard. So she hear her man talking about God. You know, this is a foreign guy, by the way. Two, this was a new guy to Abraham. This was new to their whole family. So Abraham kind of had that faith. His faith was so strong, though, that it was convincing to other people. I'm here to tell you that your faith can be so strong that it can convince others to move. You don't hear what I'm... It can convince others to repent. It can convince others to accept Jesus. It can convince others to give Jesus a chance. I say your faith can be so strong, sister. Yes, that your sister will say, you going to church this morning? Yeah, I was just saying if you can come pick. I was just saying, yeah, if you can come pick me up, I'll go. You know that type of faith. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, at 86, now they moved when they were 75. Okay, that's 11 years. You know they trying to get things. They probably was getting things going. You know they probably got over the move. She cool with it now. She's like, okay, I moved. That's cool. You lied. I forgave you. We cool, you know, the rich and poor, thick and thin. Okay, old and stanky. Okay. But now, you know I told you that you can sleep with her, but you should have said no. You know how they'll switch it up real quick. I know Sarah was like, I didn't mean it like that, though, Abraham. You didn't have to get her pregnant, though. So your girl now pregnant. Hey, this is who we come from. This is who we come from, y'all. Whole baby outside of their marriage. Man. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? And so all of that happened, right? All of this going on. And so 86, 13 years later, the age of 99, I don't know if they was walking good. I'm just saying, in the culture I live in, 99, you kind of saggy, you walking slow, but hey, I'm just trying to figure things out too as I read. He comes to Sarah and say, "What's up, baby?" She say, "Abraham, move. Stop, move." He say, No, let me tell you what's up. I talked to God again. Oh my God. Because you know she probably had like that. Because every time he talked to God, something happened. So she probably had that little like, oh my God. Okay, what is it? What God say, Abraham? He said, "You gonna have you a baby. I'ma have a what?" Now, y'all gotta understand. She, oh my God. She almost 90. Hear me out, man. Y'all gotta listen to your boy. Hey, I ain't making none of this up. Read Genesis. I'm just trying to break it down in parables that we may understand. That's it. Now, your girl, she almost 90. And so Abraham, he coming up to her. You know what I'm saying? He done had a baby. He done lied. He done done some things. You know, so she already kind of, you know, he already looking ugly to her, you know, because you know what happens when you're around somebody and they start getting on your nerves, you start seeing different things. You like, why his ears big? Like, ugh. What, April? Just what? What? Like, what you gotta say? Like, you getting tired of him. So he come up to her and he like, "What's up, baby? I mean, you know, I talked to God and he said, hey, you gonna have that baby. I'm gonna have what? What? You gonna have that baby. Yeah, you know, so what's up? You know what I'm saying? You wanna go to that tent real quick? To the girl, Abraham, stop. I gotta fix this bread. You know, angels be coming by visiting. Let me stop, Abraham. Move, move. Not right now. Why don't you go talk to Hagar? What, she ain't here, she not here for you right now? What? I know you like you some Hagar, so go talk to her. Stop, move." So, anyways, some way, somehow, he convinced her to go to the tent. You know what I'm saying? And at this ripe age, I don't know. Hey, at 100 years old, I don't know if y'all have seen it so far in our time and our culture. I haven't seen it yet. But at 100 years old, your boy Abraham and Sarah, now, they must have had some type of help because me and my wife, we're young and we are like really tired of the little baby we got. We got issues with it. They 100 though. I'm like, how they chasing that the baby around? We young and we kind of, you know, like, okay, God, give us strength with this baby. They 100. So now look. Check me out. Y'all still rolling with me? We just talking about how things, it may look good as we preach it, but I'm telling us when we get into these stories and really embody these characters, we really find out, oh, we are some crazy people. Oh, yeah, he using sinners. So everything cool. Hey, Sarah got her baby. Everything cool, y'all. You know, she probably happy. She had a little issue with the other child, which, you know, that's still happening today. You know, she like, okay, get her out the house because I don't like the way she making fun of my baby. You read about it. That's what happened. So your boy had to send him away. Now, everything is looking good. This is why we moved. Sarah probably be like, okay, I see now. I see. You know, God, this is why we move. You really making us a nation. You know, we got some land now. We got sheep. We got horses. We got, you know, people. We got servants. I like this. I like this, God. I really do. Guess what? Your boy Abraham went to go talk to God again. And guess what? Now he coming back talking about God said, I need to take our newborn and go sacrifice. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. We calling the cops on April. We putting Abraham in a mental hospital. And we telling all our family members telling us, girl, you better keep that baby away from him. You need to get full custody of him. Sarah, Sarah, listen to your mama. You get full custody of that baby Isaac. You don't let Abraham see him. He can pay you in sheep and donkeys, but you do not let him see that baby. Yes, you make him pay sheep support. You make him pay goat support every month, but you do not let him see that baby. You make sure he pay for your tent, and you make sure he pay for your blankets, and you make sure he get all the bread, yeast, and everything, but you do not let him see that baby. He done lost his mind. And what he say, girl? Mama, he said God told him. God told him what, to kill the baby? He just said, listen, listen, he said he talked to God. You know, he be going to his prayer closet. You know, I don't know what him and God be talking about in that closet, but that's what I'm saying. Every time he come back, there's something else. And I'm like, I'm loving, you know, life is good. What more? You know, Abraham, how much more? I mean, can you stop talking to God? That's when the wife starts saying, okay, I need him to stop talking to God. Because I'm just trying to relax. I'm just trying to raise my baby. I'm happy I got my baby. This is all I wanted. Now he talking about sacrifice my baby? Yes, y'all. But this is, God is testing Abraham for his faith. This is Abraham trying to prove his faith to God. But he looking like a psycho to the world. He looking like a psycho to his wife. He looking like a psycho to the people around him. Do you see what faith gets you? Can you imagine? Listen to me, man. Listen. Can you imagine some pastor getting up there talking about he finna sacrifice his kid? Oh, he counseled and they closing the church down and CPS about to get into his life. And he going to jail. And y'all know what they do to people like that. Listen, if Abraham would have been, man, if he would have been in jail, you know what they do to people like that in jail? I don't play around with that, messing with, man, and that's what Abraham doing. Man. Whew. Ooh, man, let me breathe a little bit. Just thinking about it, I'm like, God. So this makes me want to take me to the story in Genesis chapter 17, y'all. Genesis chapter 17. I want y'all to just listen to this story right here. I hope God is speaking to somebody today. So when Abraham was 99 years old, now this is before, you know, the baby came through, but I want y'all to hear this story. The Lord appeared to him again. So, you know, God appeared to him again. He said, I'm El Shaddai, the God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. Look how simple it was to walk with God. I like that. Just serve me faithfully and try to be blameless. Try to be blameless. I like that. Just make it, you know, every once in a while, let's just get back to being simple. I'm going to serve God faithfully, and I'm going to try to make my my walk blameless. Yeah, I don't want y'all to have nothing on me. Yeah, I'm going to try to do that. And then he said, I will make a covenant with you by which I guarantee to give you countless descendants. God ain't gonna give you no countless descendants, you liar, you baby killer. Why would God give you count? You up here trying to sacrifice kids. You ain't no, God ain't talking to you, Abraham. He ain't guarantee you nothing. You up here having babies outside your marriage. Shut up, Abraham. Talking about God ain't talking to him. And anybody who going to his church, they need to leave.
Y'all better get far away from Abraham. But at this, Abraham fell face down on the ground. Then God said to him, God talking to him? Y'all see who God talking to? What I'm trying to say is I'm starting to understand and I'm starting to shut my mouth up. I don't know who God talking to. Yeah, you know, in my immature ways, and sometimes, you know, you can get so self-righteous or get so religious or think put God in a box. But wisdom starting to tell me to shut up. I don't know who God talking to. I don't know who God revealing himself to. I don't know who God sharing his secret with. He's sovereign. He has mercy that I can't understand. He has forgiveness that I can't even fathom. He has an arm that can reach so far to the gutter and pull somebody out. Then God said to him, hey, sister, I'm here to tell you, I don't care where you at right now. God can say something to you. Hey, brother, I don't care how far you done got. God can still say something to you. I don't care how dark it looks, sister. God say he can say something to you. He still can say something to your heart. Yeah, brother, I know you messed up. Yeah, I know it looked dark right now. I know the whole world against you. I know everybody turned on you. I know everybody walking away from you, sister. But God say, I still say something to you. This is my covenant with you. Look who God making a covenant with. He said, I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. But his background don't seem like he can lead people. It seemed like he don't even got his house in order. So you gonna make him a multitude of nations, God? See, that's what I was telling y'all earlier. I'm glad God don't check resumes. I'm glad God don't do a deep background check on your boy before he decides to promote you. I think God just looking at people who go serve him faithfully and try to be blameless. And then he said, what's more, I'm changing your name. It will no longer be Abraham, Abram. Instead, you will be called Abraham. For you will be the father of many nations. I will make you extremely fruitful. Y'all hear what God talking to Abraham about? See, this is why he came out of them tents so crunk. This is why he came out of those prayer closets. He was ready to get at it. I will make you extremely fruitful. It don't look like you fruitful, but God said, this is, he's talking to Abraham when he don't got no kids with his wife. And God telling him he's going to make him fruitful. It don't look like your life fruitful right now, huh, sister? It don't look like your life can be fruitful right now, huh, brother? You in a terrible situation. You in a messed up situation, huh, sister? But I'm here to tell you the faith of God can make your life very, extremely fruitful. See, God was talking to me like this when I was sleeping on an air mattress at my sister's house riding a bike. This was about 4 years ago, too. That's when I first met my beautiful wife. Sleeping on an air mattress at my sister's house. My business has just went into the toilet. I had a cleaning business that wasn't getting no business. I couldn't get none. I was riding a bike because my car got into a my car got totaled. I was riding a bike around South Park, Houston, Texas. Mm-hmm. And I know people was looking at me crazy like he over there living with his sleeping on the floor. I already know.
But God was talking to me during that time, telling me about things like this, what I got going on now. Telling me, hey, son, you be faithful to me, I'll make you fruitful. See, it's crazy. You know, people, oh my God, you, oh, all, yeah, I hear that now. But I'm talking about when I was looking crazy. Yeah, man. That's why I can identify with the cancel culture so much, because I've been canceled before. Yeah, I've been canceled before. Before a whole congregation, before a whole city of people. In Arkansas, I've been canceled before a whole city of people. I can identify what it's like to be canceled and have to bounce back from that. I can identify how God will protect you and use you still after such a mighty fall from grace. I can identify with that. That's why I don't speak. I can't speak on people that I see that's going. I can't. It's hard for me because I know what God can do. I know one word from God can change their whole situation around and use that trial that they're going through a testimony for millions of people, not just in their country, but around the world. I'm not telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what I know. I'm walking it in it right now. How God can use people that the world accounts. Let's keep moving to and grooving. Back to this word that I never love. So yeah, extremely fruitful. No kids though. Your descendants will become many nations and kings will be among them. God talking to you about being a king. God talking to you about being a queen of nations and all that, but you living in dirt. Your life look like dirt. It looked like rags. And he talking to you about being extremely rich. How did that go happen, God? But okay. Okay. Now, I'm going to slide down to, let's go to verse 9. Then God said to Abraham, your responsibility is to obey the terms of the covenant. See, always remember the conversations you and God had. Remember it like you remember a 90s R&B song. Remember the conversations you see. Remember what you promised God when you was on that air mattress. Remember what you told him what you would do if he was to get you up out of this situation. Remember your responsibility to the promise you gave God. Because guess what? It's your what? Responsibility. You got so many things to do. So many places to be. But what's your responsibility? Is to obey the covenant of God. Keep moving and grooving through this word that I never love. You and all your descendants have this continually responsibility. So he talking about us right here. Because we the descendants of these crazy ancestors of ours. But they had a whole mess going on, right, y'all? Now he said, this is the covenant that you and your descendants must keep. Each male among you must be circumcised. Now, give me what I'm saying. I'm going somewhere. They 99. He 99 when he getting his instructions. He in his prayer closet and God telling him, hey, each male among you must be circumcised. Oh, it's about to be some crazy stuff going on when he get out this prayer closet. And a whole bunch of people finna get mad. But keep going. You must cut off the flesh of your foreskin as a sign of the covenant between me and you. By the way, there's still some tribes. Me and my wife seen a show. There's still some tribes who do this at the age of 15. Mm-hmm. They still do it. I'm serious. Go on to CW. How much we paying for that, by the way? Anyway, I talked to her later about that. Okay, you must cut off the flesh of your foreskin as a sign of the covenant between me and you. From generations to generation, every male child must be circumcised on the eighth day after his birth. This applies not only to the members of your family, Abraham, but also to the servants born in your household and the foreign-born servants from whom you have purchased. Yet, listen. He's in his prayer closet getting revelation. He's in his prayer closet getting a vision. Dreams. Mm-hmm. Then verse 13, all must be circumcised. Your bodies will bear the mark of my everlasting covenant. Any male, look what he says. This is what God is saying. Any male who fails to be circumcised will be cut off. It ain't nothing cut that Adam off from the covenant family for breaking the covenant. Everybody on the sound of three say, thank you, Jesus. One, two, three. Thank you, Jesus. We don't have to deal with that no more. But guess what? In Abraham day, they had to deal with it. Now I'm finna show y'all what crazy faith finna look like. Pay close attention. Abraham is 99. When he moved from his country, he was 75. He brought people with him. He brought his cousin Lot. As he was traveling, he kept getting more and more servants. His household kept growing. It even said he had 318 trained servants who was ready to go to war with him when they stole his nephew Lot. So he had some people with him. He had an army with him. Now, all of a sudden, he done went into his prayer closet. Now, he done came out of his prayer closet, and he makes an announcement at the team meeting. Hey, y'all, God want me to cut off all y'all penises. They like, what? What he said? Yeah, I was in my prayer closet, and God said, everybody with foreskin, I need to cut it off, or you can't roll with me no more. Wait a minute. What do you... Who is he talking to? Can you imagine the mothers of the sons? No, he is not. No, absolutely not. Abraham then lost his mind. Girl, Sarah, come here. You get far away from him. I'm telling you, that man then lost his mind. I know, I told y'all, every time he go in that closet and go into his tent, he come out here talking crazy. Read it. Look, y'all think I'm lying. Let's go to verse 15. Then God said to Abraham, regarding Sarah, your wife, her name will no longer be Sarah. From now on, her name will be Sarah. Can you imagine Abraham coming to her talking about, hey, what's up, Sarah? She like, excuse me? Who is that? It is Sarah. I'm not Sarah. Who is Sarah? Is that somebody you've been talking to when you was down there getting your little water for your cows? Who is Sarah? I ain't Sarah. He like, nah, baby. God told me to call you Sarah. Boy, shut up. God didn't tell you to call me no Sarah. You thinking about that little trick you been messing with. I seen you over there with them little Jezebites. You ain't fooling nobody, Abraham. You lied about me being your wife, so you not fooling nobody. Who is Sarah? Now, baby, I'm trying to tell you, I was in my prayer closet. Oh, here we go again, your little prayer closet. Every time you go in your little prayer, you know what? Next time I'm going in that prayer closet with you, Abraham, and I want to hear what thus says the Lord says. So all of a sudden, he come out of his prayer closet telling his wife, who her name been this for generations. Can you imagine Sarah telling her mama, hey, mama, I changed my name. Baby, what? Well, Abraham. Oh, my God. Baby, what he even told you to do now? Baby, listen to me. Sarah, listen to me. Sarah, listen, Abraham, listen. Get your donkeys and you come back to your mama house. I'll take care of you and that baby. You don't worry about him. Okay, from now on, then in verse 16, can y'all hear me good? All right.
and I will bless her and give you a son from her. So that's not that. That's what I was trying to tell you. This is before the baby. You know what I'm saying? Yes, I will bless her richly, and she become the mother of many nations. Kings of nations will be among her descendants. Right now, she's still kind of mad about the other baby. So really, she really ain't trying to hear about y'all having a baby. She haven't had the baby yet. You, she been walking with you. She been hearing you pray about God, but she ain't seen no baby come up out of her. So she hear what you saying about everything, Abraham, but at the end of the day, your God ain't providing for her. You see the rough, look what faith will get you every once in a while. Look at the turmoil that comes with faith. Look with the confrontation that comes with faith. Look with the arguments that comes with faith. Look what things faith may get you counseled. So then Abraham bowed down to the ground. Verse 17. But he laughed to himself in disbelief. How could I become a father at the age of 100? Hey, have God ever promised you something? I ain't gonna lie. Hey, this happened to me all the time. He tell you something about your future, and you just be like, God, yo, you better stop, God. Have God ever told you something that you can't even tell other people? He ever promised you something that you like, let me not even tell them. God, no, you said I would be what, God? I ain't even get a high school diploma. God, go. He told me I was gonna have a baby at 100. He told me I was gonna get married one day. He told me I was gonna have some kids. He told me I was gonna have my own Fortune 500 business. Have God ever told you something that made you just laugh? Hey, I'm here to tell y'all that's the type of promises I want from God. I want a promise that made me say, y'all remember on Friday? I want to have a laugh from Friday. I want that smoky mama laugh when God tell me something. God is something else, y'all. Anyway, what you laughing at? Nothing. Just something me and God was talking about. But anyway, back to this word that I never learned. And how can Sarah have a baby when she is 90 years old? Now, I'm all about encouragement, but don't come flattering me, Abraham. I'm 90. Don't you come over here talking to me about that. You see me sagging. I don't got it like I used to have it. How we even go? I get tired quickly, Abraham. I don't even know if it, you know, just move. Can you imagine, though? Man. So Abraham said to God, may Ishmael live under your special blessing. So, but God replied, send you the recording. Oh, absolutely. I'll send you a recording. Go ahead. Hey, be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. I appreciate the support always. Be blessed. But God replied, no, Sarah, your wife will give birth to a son for you. See, I love that part because I love how God, he makes sure he letting you know, I got a promise for you. I don't need you putting your hands all in my promise. I don't need you to manipulate my promise. I don't need you to try to figure out my promise. I said, Sarah, go have a baby, and Sarah, go have a baby. So I'm here to tell y'all, when God promised you something, he don't need you to try to figure it out, manipulate it. I need you to just trust. Tell somebody and say, trust. You got to trust them. Well, how you going to have it? I mean, how y'all going to do that? I don't know, but God said it. Look what he said, y'all. You will name him Isaac, and I I, not Abraham, not Sarah, but I, God, God will confirm my covenant with him and his descendants as an everlasting covenant. And as for Ishmael, that baby that you had without that other woman, because I'm cool with you, I will bless him also, just as you have asked. People got to start understanding, hey, I'm for real, because I need y'all to start feeling a little confident about your relationship with God. People got to start understanding sometimes the blessings of their life is coming because they know you. That's that blessing you got over your life. Yeah, sometimes the hand of God ain't coming strong down on them because you playing God. Please don't rain down on Sodom and Gomorrah like that. Yeah, sometimes people's lives is being covered because of your walk with God. So you better keep walking with God, sister. You better keep walking with God, brother, with your blessed friendship with God. Look at you. It's you, friends of God, getting people on. It's you getting people on. Hey, God, I got somebody who's going to put on. That's the type of influence you got. Who cares about the influence you got in the world? Who cares about all that? Oh, let's go fade in a couple of years. Let's go fade the little influence people got right now. You got influence with eternity. You can get people into eternity. Ooh, that just made me get a little happy. Look at the influence you got for eternity. I say you can put people on for eternity. With your bad self, with your godly self. Look at you with your righteous self, with your blameless self. You better walk that walk. You better be comfortable. Get yourself up out of that depression with all that influence you got for eternity. Yourself out of that low self-esteem. To get up out of that, all that influence you got to put people on for eternity, put people on their kingdom, put people on their purpose, and you up there laying in the bed depressed, talking about woe is me. Better get up out of that depression and go ahead and work your work and do what you need to do for this kingdom. Getting back to this word that I never love. So he said, I'm going to confirm it. Man. So look, in verse 22, when God had finished speaking, he left Abraham. On that very day, look at the obedience of Abraham. Because that's some stuff I got to go tell these people. I got to cut off. Wait a minute. I would have had to come back and talk to my wife. Hey, babe, let me holler at you for a minute. So God told me, you know what I'm saying? I would have had to pray about it. I would have had to call a meeting. I would have had to let everybody in. We would have had a prayer session. Like, y'all sure this is what God's telling me to do? The very day Abraham took his son, Ishmael, and every male in his household, including those born there and those he had brought, and circumcised them, cut off their foreskin, just as God told them. Oh my God. Come on, y'all. That's some serious obedience. That's some serious faith. Can you imagine? I'm telling y'all, they've been walking with Abraham for some years now. Now, all of a sudden, he coming up out of the tent talking about, come on, y'all, let's go up to the wood. We're finna cut some stuff off. Oh my God, man, they would have put this man in a mental hospital. They would have took everything that he had, took his kids away, and put him in a mental hospital. He is going crazy. And he had the nerves to say God told him. Mm-mm. That ain't no man of God. Mm-mm. He lying, he is lying. Not only that, at 24, Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised. Oh, my God. Oh. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh. Whew. His son Ishmael was 13. Hey, hey, God. Let me get my son real quick. Okay, that's cool. I'm gonna come pick up my son real quick. Which okay, that's cool. Come on, get him. What y'all about to do? Well, I'm finna go circumcise him. Excuse me? You about to what? I'm finna go. I talked to God and he want me to circumcise him, so I'm finna go circumcise. He not getting that baby. She's calling CPS, and that will be the last time he see that child. Period. Visit that provision. What's that stuff called? You gotta have people to visit. What is it called? Supervised visitation. There we go. Yes. If he wants to see Ishmael, he need to have supervision. If no, he's not saying no, he didn't lost his mind. My son is 13 years old, and all of a sudden, I would have had the doctor do that if that was the case. Now he doctor now, so now he a doctor. Girl, no, leave that man alone. Please, leave that man alone. Both Abraham and his son Ishmael were circumcised on the same day, along with all the other men and boys of the household, whether they was born there or bought as servants, all were circumcised with him. Y'all, can y'all imagine the uproar of that community right now? I'm telling y'all, when we think about the Bible, get into their emotions. Get into that's like me right now. Okay, that's like me right now. You know, we got an underground ministry. I come on here one day and say, hey, everybody, all y'all kids, we need to cut off their left earlobe unless they want to be with God still. My boy, hey, Anthony, that's my boy. But he gonna be like, man, hey, baby Teresa, we not falling in the underground no more. Anthony love me. I already know I can call that man for whatever. But he gonna be like, if I get on here and tell him, hey, y'all, I was in my prayer closet and God want me to get your son and cut off his earlobe. Man, they gonna be like, man, hey, and then Teresa gonna call my wife and say, sis, is everything okay? Do we need to pray for him? Come on. So I'm just trying to get y'all look what Abraham. Yes, we need to lay hands. Sis, my wife gonna be calling everybody. Y'all pray for my husband, please. He done lost his mind. He talking about we need to cut off the baby's earlobes, y'all. Yes, pray for him. But what I'm trying to get y'all to see, that was Abraham. Now, I'm going to end off on this. I want us to take us to the spiritual side. That was the human side, and that was the real side. But in the spirit, it's showing us. When you go, see, God had promised Abraham a huge promise. He was taking him to the next level. Listen to me, my beautiful leaders up in here. In order for that to happen, you're going to have to cut some things off. You're going to have to circumcise some friends. You're going to have to circumcise some family members. Drastic cutoffs. You're going to have to cut back on some things. That promise God has, he's talking to you right now about something that's making you laugh. It's such a huge promise. You laughing at it. You can't believe that God is telling you this. I'm telling you, it's time to cut some things away. You show God that you are obedient to this promise that he's giving you. You show God that you are serious. You get on it the next day and begin to cut some things off. Because you know you got to cut some things off in order to go to that level. See, what was happening in the flesh is we seen the obedience of the people who was walking with Abraham. We seen the obedience of the people who was following Abraham. Who followed the, it's not about following Abraham. It's about following the vision of God. You need people around you, my beautiful leaders. who's going to follow the vision of God. And those who you know, without a shadow of a doubt, who's not going to follow the vision of God, clip, clip. That's what that was. We were seeing a picture of what was to come in the future. It's not going to be easy. You think it was easy for Abraham to go to these people, all these men, all these young boys, the moms of these young boys, the grandmas of these young boys, the aunties of these young boys, the community of these young boys, and tell them I have to clip, clip? But the promise of God that he made, the promises of God, I gotta walk in this. I can't. I cannot. I gotta walk this out. I wanna see the nations be birthed. I wanna see this vision God is telling me. I wanna see my wife with this baby. Clip, clip. I may not wanna clip, clip it, but I got to. I know people going to look at me crazy. I know people going to have something to say. I know people going to think I'm not walking with God. I know people going to think I'm not hearing from God. I know people going to think that's my own mind. But look, look. I got to cut it off. That's the main thing I want us to get from this. The obedience of, even though it was crazy faith, he had to get up in front of everybody and tell them this. This may have cost him relationships with people. This may have cost him influence with people. People may want to have left him if he did this. But clip, clip, man, you know, because this is what God told me to do. And that's why I'm on earth. I'm on earth to do what God tells me to do, man. I'm only breathing because God's permission. I'm only walking because God's permission. I'm only talking because God's permission. I'm only giving because God's permission. Without God's permission, I can't breathe. So when God tells me to clip, clip, what you think I'm about to do? I'm about to clip everything that he tell me to clip. Period. That's what I'm on earth to do. To do everything that he's told me to do. I'm gonna get God or die trying. I'm going to try to be obedient to God or die trying. And you can counsel me all you want. I'd rather the whole world counsel me, but God accept me. What profit you, my brother, for the whole world to accept you, but you got counsel by eternity? What profit you, my sister, for the whole world to accept you, but you was counseled by the creation, the creator. Man, I love y'all, man. I hope y'all got what y'all needed tonight. I appreciate y'all coming out to the underground, a place to hear the word of God before you go 6 feet underground. This was a place to get into the word of God so the word of God can get into you. I love y'all. Let's not be a statue of fools when we leave this world. Love y'all.
An image of a man who let love slip through his hand and then let him stand there all alone. so the world can see. Then inscribe the world's greatest fool and name it after me. And there on his face a gold tear should be placed to honor every tear he shed. And I think it would show, then everyone would know, concealed inside is a broken heart. So build a statue